Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome to episode 96 of Growth Marketing Today. I'm your host, Ramley John. Now, with consumers cutting spending in response to COVID-19, it might be tempting for companies to make deep cuts in their marketing budgets. But studies show after study that going dark with marketing hurts your chance of recovering well out of economic downturns like recessions. There's a study that showed in the 1981 and 82 recession, it found that companies that marketed aggressively had a 256% higher sales than those who did not. Now, more for marketing leaders, what are we to do with a diminished marketing budget so that we can make the most bang for our buck and come out of the end of this crisis on top? This week, I have Ruth Ziv. She is the head of marketing at Ada, a platform that empowers industry-leading organizations like TELUS, Upwork, and more to transform their customer service with AI-powered automation. She shares her tips for what her marketing team is focused on with a reduced marketing budget during this pandemic. In episode 96, you'll learn, first, what should marketers do with a diminished budget due to COVID-19? Second, tips for marketers who aspire to lead a marketing team one day. And third, what are skills marketers should learn right now? Now, before we jump in, I've created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. Why take notes when you can just steal mine from this episode? Go to growthtoday.fm/96 to get it for free right now. You can also find that link in the description of this show. Before we jump in, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks help cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. I just want to thank the sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are a RevOps and demand generation shop. You can check them out at 42.agency/GMT. That's FourtyTwo.agency/GMT for a free consultation. And you can also find that link in the description of the show. And if you're interested about getting an ad-free version of this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/growthtoday to sponsor this podcast for as little as $2 per episode. Well, enough about this. Let's jump into my chat with Ruth. All right, hey everybody. I am excited to chat with Ruth. I've been looking at her LinkedIn feed. She is the head of marketing at Ada. How's it going, Ruth? How are things with you?
Everything's great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I've been, you know, seeing your LinkedIn posts. I saw the one particularly you talked about copywriting and was getting a lot of engagement. And people were telling me, you know, the marketers I talked to, like Amrita and other folks in Toronto, like, you got to talk to Ruth, get her on the podcast.
Oh, that's so nice. That's so nice.
Anyway, before we talk about marketing, you know, I love hearing people's story. Can you share a little bit about your story of how you became head of marketing?
Yeah, I actually didn't go through a very traditional path. I studied social work. I have my master's in social work and spent the first 10 years of my career working in the nonprofit sector, doing primarily marketing and fundraising. That was a great path for me, especially while I had kids, and the nonprofit world is very accommodating. And that was, you know, a great stint, but I was hungry for a faster pace and started to do some freelance work for a software company. Mostly doing copywriting, in fact, writing, and quite enjoyed that. And I decided to leave the software gig and I hung a shingle and started doing copywriting and consulting, and that evolved and grew into a full marketing practice. And most of my clients were from the software and technology space. And I did that for about 5 or 6 years and then was pulled in-house by one of my clients. And I worked there as their CMO for almost 5 years, and then joined Ada about a year and a half ago. I was hungry for a new challenge and really wanted to be in a market that was noisy and hot and confused. And I definitely have landed in that type of market. So I've been able to apply some new skills, and it's been a fun ride so far.
That's funny you say hot, like AI. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. Maybe you can better explain to folks who might not be familiar, what is Ada?
So Ada sells a platform that delivers automation for customer support. Think of it as sort of of the next generation chatbot. We sell primarily into the customer support part of the organization to deliver an automated experience across digital channels. And we sell to mostly digital first enterprises around the world.
That's a good way to put Ada. I want to jump into what you wanted to chat about. I asked you in the forum, you know, what did you want to chat about the podcast? And you said customer experience.
Yeah.
And particularly you talked about how, you know, for a lot of organizations, the customer experience tends to be siloed.
Yeah.
Why is it important for marketers and maybe just even the whole organization to take a look at the experience from, you know, from the whole picture versus just like on a very small silo?
Sure. It's a great question. I think that, you know, you have to think about it from the perspective of the customer. You know, as a customer, I'll go on your website or visit your store or start exploring the services that you're selling, gathering information. Eventually, I'll make a purchase. And then as a customer, I might have a support issue. Perhaps my package didn't arrive the way that I expected it, or I'm not satisfied with the service you provided, and I need to speak to a customer support agent. My needs along that journey may be different at different points in that journey, but I'm the same person. So I want to know that the person that is supporting me after I've become a customer is familiar with that whole journey. And right now, the way that companies address the customer experience is through these discrete departments that tend to be very siloed. And I think it leads to a very disjointed experience for the customer. I mean, we've all had that frustration where you call up and you have to repeat your credit card or your phone number, and they have no idea what you've purchased, and you're giving, and you get transferred between departments. It's a very disjointed experience. And as we start to interact with brands more and more in a digital first way, we expect a seamless experience. I think, you know, you think about companies like Amazon, like they've created that expectation for us, and companies are playing catch up, but really it's become the standard for customers. And we want to know that our experience from start to finish is seamless and consolidated.
That totally makes sense. It's like, imagine talking to somebody like a friend, and then the next day they ask you again, what's your name? that totally doesn't make sense.
Exactly. We have relationships with the brands that we purchase. And, you know, the example that my CEO always gives is the example of the coffee shop. Like, what a better experience is it when you go into that coffee shop that you frequent on a regular basis, and they know your order, they know your name, they know how you like to take your coffee, they know where you like to sit. Like, it just makes for a more delightful, meaningful experience. And I think that's become the standard. That's really table stakes today.
And I think one of the other benefits of that is actually becoming a lifelong, like, loyal customer. Imagine, like, your coffee shop, they know your name, they know your order. Like, you go to another coffee shop, it's going to be really hard for them to relearn
exactly.
your name, right?
Exactly. Those relationships matter arguably more than ever before on the other side of this pandemic, especially. I think customer loyalty and customer relationships are almost more important than a, you know, net new customer acquisition.
I see the benefits of it for companies who are, you know, hey, we got to do this. What are some things they can do to make sure that the whole experience is consistent across the board?
I think there are a lot of things that companies can do. You see companies creating these customer experience departments. I think data is a really important place to start. So you want to make sure that you're consolidating your customer data across that journey, that you're not using siloed systems. So, you know, for instance, Ada is a chatbot vendor. Companies foolishly use one chatbot for marketing, another chatbot for sales, another chatbot for customer support. That's just silly. Like, you should be consolidating that experience even with automation. And I think similarly for all of the tools that you use, you want to make sure that data that you're gathering is usable in a way that's going to be meaningful to the customer. So I think that's one way. Another way is by making sure that you actually reside on the digital properties that your customers are frequenting. So more and more customers are using, you know, texting or Facebook or Twitter or apps to engage with brands. And brands have a responsibility today to have a presence on all of those digital properties in order to bring that experience into a fuller, wholer world. that omni-channel approach.
That totally makes sense. Is that, you know, what are, in terms of like Ada, like what kind of things, I'm guessing you've consolidated the whole thing on, you know, for all communication for Ada. Is that something that you, that your the whole Ada team has adopted like a specific platform for that?
Yeah. So, well, for my team at Ada, you know, in terms of working with my team and how we service our prospects and customers, yeah, we you know, eat our own dog food, and we try and do that as much as possible. We're a B2B vendor. I think that the imperative is even greater for B2C vendors. So our customers buy us because we offer omni-channel support. So we're a chatbot that you can experience on Facebook, in-app, on the website, on WhatsApp, and then all of that data is consolidated in one place, and you can tailor your customer experience accordingly.
I might be getting ahead of myself, but you know, Ada's mainly focused on support. Is that right? Is there, you know, is that something you're looking, your company's looking at? Because then now they can own that, you know, not just support, but pre-sale, sales.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. And while we have an opinion that automation should begin inside of your support organization, you actually touched on it earlier, the value of customer loyalty and retention is tremendous. And actually the benefit of retaining a customer is greater than the benefit of acquiring a new customer. The cost is also lower. And so we believe that automation should start inside of your support organization, but more and more our clients are leveraging our technology across the fuller experience. So in marketing, in sales, and ultimately in support.
In terms of making sure that the whole customer experience is unified, we talked about technology. Are there like cultural issues within the company that needs to also be addressed? Maybe like, you know, maybe there might be some conflict between, I don't know, the classic example is sales and marketing, right? They digitally don't talk to each other. So like, this is our tool, that's your tool. Is that something you've seen, or like what can companies do to make sure that, you know, the whole team, the whole leadership team are actually cohesive to provide that customer experience?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, in some ways a top-down mandate. And I think you see a lot of these traditional organizations being disrupted because they're struggling to overcome that challenge. So you look at banks, you know, banks traditionally have not been digital first. And often that experience is very siloed, especially for younger customers that don't want to necessarily walk into a branch and have that in-person experience. They want to do all of their banking online. And the traditional banks are struggling to catch up. And I think that there are a lot of fintech companies that are disrupting that sector, just as an example. Those are the companies that tend to seek out Ada. Now, we have banking customers, we have insurance customers, but the ones that really have the greatest success are the ones that embrace this digital first model. And they're meeting customers where they want to be across that experience in a very seamless way.
So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about skills. You know, a few weeks ago, the one that really picked up on LinkedIn, you said that copywriting is hands down the most important skill for marketers. You know, I didn't know you did copywriting earlier, but why is copywriting so important? And I get it. It's something that I'm trying to improve, but I'd love to hear what your response to that is.
Take it with a grain of salt because, you know, that's my background. I have a major in English in university and I've always been a bit of a writer. I just think that today, especially, it's how we communicate. You know, we communicate digitally with copy. It's how we make people feel heard and valued. It's how we share information. And it's just a very versatile and, I believe, rare skill. And it translates into almost all areas of marketing: email, social, website, chatbot, video. Having strong foundational copywriting skills can get you pretty far, I think, in marketing.
I totally agree. And it's, like I said, it's something that I'm trying to improve. Since this is your background, I'd like to personally ask you how can I improve my copywriting skills? How can, you know, people are interested, you know, I need to learn this. What are some things that you would suggest for those marketers?
Yeah. So, you know, that particular post drew a lot of criticism because my personal bias is that, I absolutely think people can improve their copywriting skills, but I think really good copywriters, you know, the cream of the crop, are born with a talent that you know, you're just born with it. The same way a great musician is born with a talent or a great artist is born with a talent. I don't think you can necessarily achieve greatness if you weren't born with that skill. In terms of honing the skill, which every marketer should do, to the extent that they're able, you can do it by practicing and by soliciting a lot of feedback. I think that's the best way. Write blog posts, even if they're not going to be published. Keep a journal and then ask people that you believe to be good writers for feedback on what you've written. Just flexing that muscle repeatedly will, you know, the practice makes perfect, might not make perfect, but practice will make it better. So really just putting yourself out there and practicing. I also think that whenever you write, finish what you're writing, step away from it, come back to it a little bit later and try and cut it in half. People use too many words in their copy. Paragraphs are too dense, especially if it's being read online. You want to have more white space, more bullets, short, punchy sentences. So you have to step away sometimes and come back to it to see it with fresh eyes. So those would be some of the things that I would recommend.
When we come back in just a moment, Ruth shares what are other skills that marketers should be learning right now. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, 42 Agency. They are our RevOps and demand generation shop, and they help B2B SaaS businesses streamline operations, implement new tech stack, and design ABM and demand generation strategies. Now they help you create a predictable revenue pipeline. Their past clients include OnFleet, HubDoc, GuestLogix, FlexDay, and more. You can book a free consultation at 42.agency/GMT. That's FourtyTwo.agency/GMT. And I know that my friend there, Camille, he is the founder of that agency. He knows what he's doing. So shout out to him. Go check it out. The link is in the description of this show. I want to remind you also that I've created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF. You can get that at growthtoday.fm/96, or you can find that link in the description to get that free resource related to this episode now. Enough about this, let's jump back into my chat with Ruth. Great advice. It's something that I'm gonna try. In terms of other skills, are there any other skills that people like marketers should be like really honing in during, particularly during this time where, you know, there might be a hiring freeze for a lot of companies because of COVID? Like, what are skills that marketers should be learning right now that will be applicable now or will be applicable in the future?
I think today, to be an effective marketer, you have to be very data driven. I mean, what I love about marketing today is that so much of what we do is measurable and trackable, and you can make informed data-driven decisions. And so I think that marketers should take time, especially earlier in their career, to learn how to do that. Understand how to track your work against clearly articulated KPIs. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? Are you tied to a pipeline result? Are you tied to an MQL outcome? And then understand how to track that regularly so that you can tailor your work in a way that will help you to drive to that result. So making sure that the decisions that you make are tied to data and defensible to the data, that makes you a much, much more valuable marketer than somebody that's just learning the tricks.
That's totally true. And you can also prove, like what you talked about, you can prove your, you know, the impact of your work instead of like,
exactly.
Oh, I wrote a blog post. Now you can say, hey, this is, I wrote a blog post that got this much impression and,
totally.
And got this much leads. I want to shift gears one last time and talk about something we've kind of skirted around about COVID, about what's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of marketing teams have seen an impact on their budget because of this pandemic. This is one of the topics you suggested. What should marketing teams be doing or focusing on with diminished budget?
Yeah, it's tricky. I think, you know, I read an interesting article that a colleague shared right when the pandemic hit that assessed, it was a research-based article that assessed the impact of spend in times of recession on the future success of those companies. And what the research basically determined was that there were three types of companies. There were those that cut back all spending in times of recession. This is marketing spend or advertising spend specifically. So companies that cut back entirely, companies that basically maintained the status quo, and companies that ramped their spend during times of recession. And the companies that ramped their spend during the time of the recession actually did the best on the other side of the recession. The ones that cut back their spend were the ones that actually did the poorest on the other side of the recession. And I think the reason for that is that things tend to get very quiet from a marketing point of view during a recession. I mean, we're seeing now, even though we're in a very crowded market, things are a lot less noisy. Some of our competitors have gone silent. Some of them don't exist anymore, to be honest. And so to the extent that you're able, even with a diminished budget, think about how you can amplify your voice and really put your message out there into the market, especially now. Now, I actually don't think now is, if you have no choice but to cut back your budget, think about how you can use that budget to make the most noise. So are you emailing more? No, but it's because I think an amplified voice in the midst of a pandemic or a recession is going to position you as a top of mind vendor on the other side of the recession. Because if you're the one that was making the noise, if you were the one that is in front of the prospect most frequently during that time, you're going to be the vendor that they remember when budgets come back and they're actually ready to make a purchase. So at Ada, for instance, we certainly have cut back our budget. We want to make responsible decisions during this time, but I've preserved my pay-per-click budget, for instance. We're blogging more. We're creating more content. We're pushing it out more on social, which is a fairly inexpensive channel for us. We're leveraging email. We're doing a lot of virtual events, webinars, podcasts, because we want to make sure that our voice is really loud and clear at this time.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's something that, you know, I'm seeing a lot of companies are doing. One thing that I'm noticing is a lot of companies are sounding very similar. Like, for example, how many times have you heard, during these uncertain times, I've seen that too many newsletters. You know, how can companies cut through like with their content in the white noise?
Yeah, I commented about this on LinkedIn as well. I think human beings naturally crave certainty, and we're tired of hearing that the times are uncertain. I think that, you know, the uncertainty has become certain. We sort of are starting to figure out what we're dealing with here. And I think that to the extent that you can bring solutions to market and talk about what you do know, you know, be the expert, assert yourselves, have an opinion, and make recommendations about how companies are going to come back from this blow. How are they going to start delivering against expectations, and how can you help them to do that? So I think that we have to stop talking about the problems and start talking about the solutions within the context of the pandemic. And that's much more constructive from a marketing point of view.
One other thing I keep seeing over and over again on social media is working from home tips. I saw this post that you had on LinkedIn where, like, you know, people stop talking about working from home tips. And one of the things you suggested was, you know, use this time to, you know, how what kind of tips can you provide to restore high performance to your team? And what are your thoughts on that? What are the things marketing leaders or just leaders in general can do? Because particularly for companies that are not used to working from home, what are things that leaders can do to restore that performance to their team?
Yeah, I think this is one of the ways where, you know, the world is going to have changed forever. I think working from home is going to become or has already become more of an expected standard. And I think to the extent that companies are able to maintain or even improve their performance while working from home, that's a wonderful thing. Some of the things that we've done at Ada that I think have been really effective is being really, really clear with our objectives. We've broken down our objectives really into monthly buckets so that every month we lay out exactly what it is that we expect of our teams. And then we meet on a regular basis to track against those monthly objectives. And I think breaking it down in that way has been really helpful, that we can tackle things very specifically, very clearly. We know what we're driving towards. It's a lot less vague. And that level of accountability, which is so difficult to sustain where you're not physically in front of each other on a regular basis becomes a lot more tangible and achievable. So that's one way. Having a regular cadence or just trying to create FaceTime. So I've introduced every other week lunches with my team. We try to do quarterly events. So even though last quarter we were remote, we did a team-wide cooking event, and you know, which was great. I have 25 people on my team, so there were 25 of us in this Zoom experience with a cooking teacher. It was really fun. Now, unfortunately, we couldn't taste each other's food, but then we had to take like Instagram-worthy pictures of what we had prepared, and there was a contest. So trying to still infuse in your team a sense of fun, a sense of energy. Yeah. I think those are some of the things that I would recommend that at least at Ada, my team is still performing to a very high degree. Mm. We've had great results. So I'm hoping some of those things have helped.
That's super cool. I mean, did you find a chef somewhere or like that teacher?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody that I know who is a chef and caterer, and she does these virtual sessions, and she was amazing. If folks are interested, they can direct message me on LinkedIn and I'll pass along her information.
That's such a great idea. I never thought about that. One thing I've heard is doing like virtual games night where they play like this game online, but I've never heard of a virtual cooking class. I think that's genius.
It was fun. And actually the other day I did this with my family, not with my team, but we did a virtual room escape.
Oh,
it was really fun.
I heard about that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to start wrapping up. And one of the questions I love asking is, you know, if you had one piece of advice to marketers who aspire to become like head of marketing or, you know, to lead a marketing team in the future, what would be your advice to those marketers?
I would say get outside of marketing, get outside of your own head, sell a little bit. You know, selling is ultimately I think of sales as marketing's customer, right? Like we're trying to deliver leads and demand for the sales organization to really understand that. I think it's always helpful if a marketer has done some selling, right. Dig into product, understand the other side of the organization, the product side of the organization or the services side of the organization so that you have a fuller view of that customer experience. That would be, you know, really if you're aspiring to a position of leadership, understand where your strengths are and then move beyond those strengths so that you're filling some of those gaps and you can at least, even though you're not going to become expert necessarily in those other areas, you have that foundational perspective that will just enhance those strengths that you're bringing to the table.
Great advice. And one final question, where can people find out more about you and your work online? And for companies that are interested about Ada, where can people find out about that?
Absolutely. So Ada, come visit our website. It's ada.support. That's the best place to learn more about Ada. And then I can be found on LinkedIn, Ruth Zive. I accept most connection requests. I post regularly. So that's probably the best place to find me.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, Ruth. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Well, that was it for this episode. Wow, that is so good. I think one of the things that I've learned from this episode, with a diminished budget, think about how you can amplify. Well, that's it for this episode. One of the things I've learned from this episode is that even with a diminished budget, you got to think about how you can amplify your voice and put your message out there into the market. If you have no choice but to cut back on your budget, think about how you can make the most out of your budget. So whether that's really focusing on blogging or podcasting or community, things that doesn't cost us much to really drive attention to your brand. Now, did I miss something? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are about this episode. You can find me on Twitter at RamleyJohn. My DMs are open. Or email me, ramley@growthtoday.fm. Now, before I end, I also want to remind you that I put together all the actionable tips from this episode in a one-page PDF that I call a growth cheat sheet. Why take notes when you can literally just steal mine? I'm giving it away. So go to growthtoday.fm/96 to get this free resource now, or you can find that link in the description. Also, love for you to support me in three easy ways. First, tell a friend about this. You can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn. Tell a friend about this podcast. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list where I provide all the cheat sheets going forward so you don't have to keep going back to the site to get that cheat sheet. I will email that to you. each and every time. And third, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $2 per episode for exclusive content and an ad-free version of this podcast. You even get the podcast episode a day before everybody else. How awesome is that? With your support, I can pay for my hosting fees, marketing tools, so I can get more amazing guests only for $2 per episode. You can go to patreon.com/growth today to sponsor this episode. You can also find that link in the description. Well, that's it for this episode. Until the next one, this is your host, Ramley John. Keep safe, and as always, keep on growing.